He don't want you living your life haphazardly. Just begin to pray and talk to him. And just tell him what's on your heart right now. Just tell him the area where you need help. Lord, help me be more organized in this area right here.
Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
The best of the old, the best of the new, the best variety in music.
Great variety of music, different music,
tons of music.
It's awesome.
On anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Several times they had gone through several storms. They had been knocked off courses several times, and now they find themselves shipwrecked. And because the centurion was willing to save Paul, he called for all of the men who could swim to jump into the water and make it to land in the 27th chapter, verse 43. And then in 44, he says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And they all reached land safely, like Paul said they would, if they would stay in the ship. Now they got to land safely, but the land that they are on, they did not know at that point what it was or where it was, because they had been knocked off course. And storms sometimes have a way of knocking you off course. And you have to get your bearings and see where you are so that you can pick up the pieces and continue on with your journey. So verse 1 says, when they were escaped, they found that the island that they were on was called Melita. And the name Melita meant honey. And they were on Honey Island. And I'm not real sure if honey was because it was situated in a part of the sea where there was much convulsion and much disturbance in the waters, where many ships had been run aground because of the major boulders underneath, and because many had been thrown off course, landed in that area, and they were a place of refuge for many seagoing farers, or if it was a place that yielded some of the sweetest honey between Africa and Sicilia. I'm not real sure why they called it honey, but it must have been sweet. Here's what they say, verse 2. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Listen, for they kindled a fire, listen, because of the present rain and because of the cold. They had received all 276 of these people who had been shipwrecked and made a fire for them. Now, when they made that fire, they recognized that that was no little thing. First of all, they were called barbarous people, not because they were barbarians in the normal sense of savagery and antiquated ideology and means. No, they were called that for two reasons. Either people didn't speak their language, or they didn't speak other people's languages. And so as a result of that, they were called barbarous or barbarians. And so there they were, listen at this, showing them a very sweet kindness. Here's why. Because when you've been shipwrecked, and the word says, because of the present rain and cold, it's a good thing to have a fire. How many of you ever got cold and wet and the wind was blowing? And if you ever been out in the cold in that area, whether it was a camping trip, hunting trip, or what have you, a hot fire was a wonderful thing. And somebody put it this way, a biscuit when I'm hungry is better than a banquet when I'm full. So they showed them no little kindness. They didn't think that was a little thing, because in fact it was great, because it had to be a bonfire to be able to accommodate 276 folk. Now, listen, verse 3 says, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, he laid them on the fire. Listen, there came a viper, a snake, out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, Paul, I want to say a few things about that. Paul is at the point, you know, he's a wise man. There's a bonfire that's been built for them. And Paul recognizes that when those who are warmed by the fire are warm, they need to move out of the way and let the ones in the back get to the front and get warm. And they kind of continue that rotating reality. But Paul got out of line and went hunting for sticks. Because one of the things Paul realized was, if you didn't start the fire, you ought to at least have sense to keep the fire burning. There are some people who don't start fires, don't know how to start fires, But it's much easier to keep a fire burning if someone else can get it started. And so Paul left and found a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. But now notice what happens. When he laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat. Now, listen at this. When he went to get the sticks and brought the sticks back, the viper was already there, hiding in the sticks. But the viper, listen, don't have a problem hiding in cold, damp places. A snake don't have a problem hiding in warm, mushy places. But a snake has a major issue with a hot burning fire. Let me tell you something else. Out of the 276 folk that were there, the viper only bit one. And I like to say to people, especially new people in church or people getting involved in church, listen, the only time the snake really bites you is when you go to work. Long as you're sitting on the pews, everything is beautiful. Oh, the people are wonderful. Everything is just lovely. But just get involved in ministry. Then you'll find out everybody ain't who they claim they are. You'll find out some of them have some downright low-down ways. Some of them don't want you in the ministry and don't even want you in the church. And you never experience that until you get involved in ministry. When you decide, I just can't sit here and do nothing, let me get involved. And you're excited about that and then doing your job. You get bit by a snake. And so Paul was bit by the snake only after he put the sticks on the fire. The viper jumps out of the fire and fastened. That word fastened meant that he got to the point where he had put a major hold on Paul. Listen, he wasn't planning to let go. Now let me explain something about the viper. The viper was not a very big snake. He was a very small snake, which made it easy for him to conceal himself among branches, in grass and weeds. And he was easily concealable in those kind of arenas. But they called him a venomous beast. Now, here's what made him a venomous beast. One, his size. Don't let smallness fool you. You heard some old folks say, I'm a little piece of leather. Yeah, but I'm well put together. You know they're saying don't let the littleness fool you. And so it was because of the viper's size, but it wasn't just because of the size. It was because of their stealth abilities. They could hide so very easily, blend in so very easily. Unless you knew what you were looking for, they would be right there looking at you, and you wouldn't even see them. But then, thirdly, they were called beasts because venomous beasts because of their strength in the venom. When they bit a man, within a minute or two, he dropped down dead. He would begin to swell, and after swelling, he would then drop down dead. Now, listen, a little old 4-inch, 6-inch viper could put down a big old ox if he got a hold to and fastened himself to the ox and continued to pump the venom in the ox, which is what he was doing with Paul. He fastened fastened on to Paul and continued to pump. Most venomous snakes hit you and hit you. When they hit you, they pump the venom in you that point and time of the strike. Many times they will do two or three quick strikes, boom, 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 knowing, because snakes are wise. Most snakes don't strike unless they know they got a good hit. Here's what they realize. Because they're on the ground, because they have the low position, because they are really at odds with being even in the combat, they will hide themselves, and if you get too close, they coil themselves up so that they are able to reach up and out and strike, recall back and strike again, and do whatever is necessary to put as much venom in you to take you down. But the viper held on to its prey and just continued to release venomous poison in them. Now Paul has a viper hanging from his hand. What's interesting is the barbarians looked at that and they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. Even though he escaped the sea, vengeance suffered him not to live. Now, when they had formed that opinion of Paul, the Bible says in verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Now, I'm going to come back to verse 5, but let me go to verse 6 right quick, because verse 6 says, howbeit when they looked, they watched, they observed him for a good while and didn't see him swell and didn't see him drop dead, they changed their minds and called him a god. Now, these were Greek people filled with Greek mythology. One commentator suggests that they thought he might have been the god Hercules, because when Hercules was a baby, in his bassinet, a snake crawled in to the bassinet with him, and Hercules grabbed the snake by the neck and killed him with his bare hand. And so, based on that mythology, they thought he might have been Hercules reincarnated. And so they changed their mind. You keep on reading. Paul continued on in the city with his healing ministry. So they realized this man was something special. So let's go back to verse 5 and let's help us to deal with being able to shake off our problems in 2015. I think it's helpful. He gives us a model of how we need to handle this business of shaking off stuff that attaches itself to us when we know it doesn't belong on us, with us, to us, around us, etc. If you'll note again, look at the first part of the verse. It says, and he shook off the beast. And he, first thing I need to tell you is that you need to be ready to shake off the beast. You have, one, to have purpose. Purpose. Paul purposed to shake off the beast. You see, what I'm trying to say is the reason why a whole lot of us can't shake off stuff that's on us is because we're not ready to shake it off. We are caught in between and betwixt. And a lot of times, even though it's doing us harm, we're not ready to deal with what it takes to get it off of us. first thing Paul did was he was prepared and ready to shake off the beast. Well, how do you know this, Pastor? Because it's clear from the text that he assessed the situation and acted quickly. So when you're looking at getting ready to shake something off, you need to assess it, look it over, qualify what needs to be done before you do it. And one of the things Paul looked at was the fact that he was working. This viper jumped out the fire and bit him to destroy him. He qualified the fact that that viper didn't belong on him. That viper didn't have a right to attack him. That viper was not something he needed for ministry work. That viper had done this to him, and if he had been any kind of man other than a man of faith, he would have been dead. So here's what Paul did. He shook the viper off. The viper didn't shake himself off. What am I saying? That there are some things that have attached themselves to you that won't let you go unless you shake it off. You've got some habits. You've got some problems. You've got some people. You've got some trouble. You've got some issues. You've got some sickness. You've got some things that have attached themselves to you that won't let you go unless you purpose to shake it off. And so Paul purpose to get rid of this thing. Tell somebody, purpose to shake it off. You see, listen, you can't always whine and cry, Lord, take this from me. No, some things you're going to have to do yourself. See, when you get enough and say enough is enough, then you're ready to do something about it. Paul, listen, was ready to do something about this viper who attached himself to Paul's hand. Listen, second thing Paul did was not only purpose himself to be ready and assess the situation and acted quickly, but secondly, he knew the place where he was going to shake off the viper. He knew the place. Why is the place important? Because every other place the viper was, he was comfortable. It wasn't until he was placed in the fire that he retaliated. And Paul recognized this, that this adversary and his ability to assault had to be annihilated. Did you hear what I just said? This adversary and his assaults had to be annihilated. Now, here's what's interesting. Paul had sense enough to know that the only thing that would destroy this viper was the fire. So he put the viper where the viper belonged. When he shook off the viper, he could have shaken the viper off in the crowd. And the viper would have bit somebody else. He could have shook off the viper and let it run back on the ground and run underneath some brush or underneath sticks and find his comfort place again and again resurface and strike somebody else. But if he were going to take care of the situation the way that he knew was possible, he shook the viper off into the fire that would totally annihilate him and keep him from coming back and hurting anybody else. See, my brothers and sisters, you've got to be careful where you shake off your problems. You can shake off your problems in the wrong place and your problems become other folk problems. You can shake off your problems in a place where it takes hold of somebody else and create problems for somebody else that wouldn't have had them if you wouldn't have shook off your problems in their presence. I wish I had somebody. You've got to know when you shake off your problems, there's a proper place to shake them off. Well, here's what Jesus said. Cast all your care upon him because he cared for you in the word. If you're going to cast off, shake off, get rid of, it needs to be to someone who can handle it and will keep it from affecting other people. And then thirdly, listen, he had a peace when he shook off the beast. A peace. You can't have no peace with a snake hanging on your head. You can't have no peace with a snake steadily shooting venom in your veins. You can't have peace with what it signifies. A viper, a snake hanging on you. Matter of fact, it will drive good folk away from you. And so, listen, he had peace when he shook the viper off in the fire because he knew that viper was not going to bother anybody else. And that it did not bother him because he was a man of faith. A man of God on assignment by God. And listen, because he was on assignment, let me throw you a helpful holy hand, and his assignment was not complete, he knew God wasn't through with him. And see, my brothers and sisters, you might get bit by a snake, but if your assignment is not through, that bite is not a bite of death. You need to understand with the peace within you that Mark chapter 6, verse 8 to 16, verse 18 tells you that you'll take up serpents. Listen, and the reality of this is that you've got power over serpents. You've got power that comes from the Lord that supersedes everything that the enemy chooses to bring against you and to hit you with. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding wouldn't even let his nerves get riled up. Because he was still on assignment. And listen, he affirmed that his assignment was advancing. Now that's peace when you know you've been in a storm, bitten by a snake, and you're still going. That's peace when you know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. That's peace when you believe God, as Paul did, that God said he would do and how God would protect him. That kind of reality is what the believer needs to be able to shake off any problem the enemy, the snake, Satan, Lucifer, old Slewfoot puts upon you. But you've got to realize you have got to play your part. If you get busy in the kingdom, know the enemy is going to strike you. That's his job. Here's what you don't understand. You might not see him, but he sees you. And Paul did what he did because it was the right thing to do to help the fire to keep burning, to comfort others who were in the position where they could not have done at that point what he did because of where he had come to. And so he had a peace that came only from God, even though he had a problem that he would not allow to persist. My question to you is,